just as we showed the slide on Amanda Freistadt, I just remembered when I was talking to Justin last night, Amanda's fiance, whose name is Anthony, came up and started talking. And he's part of the organization of what's happening on Monday, the call. And he and Justin have been communicating with one another, but haven't met. And so I introduced the two for the first time. So it was so cool to have them meet that way. And also, we have with us this morning, for the first time as husband and wife, Tyler and Kelsey Benke. Yay! All right. So we're in that season. We got some weddings coming on here. Come on. Yeah. Well, how many of you agree we've heard some great testimonies this morning, huh? Well, there's more to come. There's more to come. This is testimony morning, okay? And I want to remind you that the scripture in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of what? Of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. By the word of their testimony, how many believe there's power in a testimony? There's power in a testimony. Let me just remind you of the words of someone who's a good friend of ours. Whoops, I just lost it. Sorry. I'll get it. Give me 1 second here. Sorry about that. Yeah, Randy's lost it. That happens a lot. All right. Bill Johnson, testimony releases faith for God to act. Testimony releases faith for God to act. I don't know about you, but when I hear these testimonies, it increases my faith. You know, I say, yes, God, you can do it. Yes, God, you are a miracle-working God. Yes, God, even as we heard Lexington Market, Fred's testimony about his brother Stanford, I mean, all those little details coming together. Yes, God, you are amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, one of our dear brothers has shared with me on two occasions an amazing story. And we've talked about sharing it on a Sunday morning, and I thought, well, this would be a great Sunday for us to hear this story. So I'm going to invite Chuck Benke to come on up. Come on down, Chuck. Let's welcome Chuck. And we're going to begin with just sort of a little interview process here, and then I'm going to turn the mic to Chuck and let him tell this story. We've all heard amazing, powerful testimonies. This, in my mind, ranks up there with the top 10. And so that's why I felt we all needed to hear it. So, Chuck, how long have you guys been a part of our congregation here, going back to Living Water days?
1994.
And how long have you and Barb been married?
36 years,
okay. And Tyler and Kelsey is the third marriage in their family. They've got one to go, right?
One to go.
Alex. Alex, you're in the bullseye, man. All right, so Chuck, anybody think they know where Chuck works? Most people don't even know. Sue. Right, he works in the federal prison for women, yes. And he works in a shop there with these women every day. It's a highly secure area. So you have to go through multiple layers of security to get in and multiple layers of security to get out. And that's where he spends his day in and day out. Chuck, tell us the story.
All righty. Well, I am going to sit on this stool because my leg is not going to make it for that long. So anyway, so bear with me. And I did want to thank Randy and Fred for giving me this opportunity this morning to share about this young lady who actually works for me there at the prison. And I have 21 of them. I have murderers, gang members, prostitutes, drug dealers, the whole bit. And they are the most amazing people I've ever worked with in my life. And this young lady came to me, and her name is Susan, and she is every bit of 6 foot tall. And just absolutely beautiful, just a gorgeous young lady. She's in her mid-30s when I first met her 7 years ago. And God put this girl in my heart the moment I met her, and I offered her a job in the shop, one of my 5 full-time jobs that I have there with the ladies. And They help teach the other ladies who come in for like job training and stuff. We make different products there in the shop, and we sell them to the different state agencies. And we do over $1 million worth of business a year. So it's not a little rinky-dink place. It's very, very coordinated, and a lot of responsibility that goes with these ladies. And Susan came in, and I'm just so happy I get to share what is going on with her, because what started out as just a friendship has blossomed through God's hand into just absolutely amazing, incredible story. And to start out, 7 years ago, I was offered a chance. I was already working with the men in the prison, and we were offered a chance, the company I worked for, to put in another shop inside the prison at Patuxent. And I was asked if I would be willing to put it together and get it up and running and be in charge of it. And I jumped at the opportunity. And then I got the old proverbial, there's just one thing. And that one thing turned out it was going to be a shop run by women, female inmates. It was going to be myself and 21 female inmates in a room locked together with 10 hours a day, 40 hours a week. And I was going to spend my whole week with these 21 women. And anybody and everybody told me, do not do this. Do not get involved with the women inmates, because they are 10 times worse than the men. And God made it very clear to me. He's like, this is why you're here. I was like, this is why I put you here for these women. He goes, you are going to do this. And I did. And I was like, I had no fear at all about doing this. So I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. So come to find out, one of the things we were going to do in the shop was picture framing. And I had no clue about picture framing. This is zero. Had no idea how to do it. And we frame stuff for the Ravens. We do jerseys for the Orioles, the Ravens. We do for the governor's office. We do thousands of frames a year. Had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And I'm like thinking to myself, how am I going to teach these women to do this when I have no idea what I'm doing? So they send me down to the main women's prison. I have 37 women to interview, inmates. And I have to pick 5 of them to be my full-time supervisors at the shop. So the first thing, all I'm thinking is when I'm driving down there, what am I going to do about this picture framing? This is going to be a really big problem because I don't know what I'm doing. So I get down there, and the first young lady they send in to me is Susan. And she sits down, and she tells me that she graduated from Amherst College up in Massachusetts, ran her own business, did all the bookkeeping for her mother and father's business. And I'm sitting there like, wow. I was like, this girl is like incredibly impressive. I mean, and she's in prison. I mean, she's serving a 30-year sentence for second-degree murder. And I won't get into the details since there might be children here. But I'm like, wow, this girl is like incredible. So we were just about done. And I said to her, I was like, you mentioned that you ran your own business when you were out. I was like, just curious, what did you do? And she goes, I was a picture framer. And I was like, no way. And she goes, I was like, so you know how to frame jerseys and shadow boxes and all that? And she's like, did it for 8 years. I know how to do it. And I was like, good grief, Lord. I was like, I mean, could you give me just like another sign that you got this all under control? Stop worrying. And I left there that day and I couldn't have been any happier, you know. I got my 5 ladies. I got a professional picture framer, you know, and God put this girl in my heart. And I had no idea why. I really knew little to nothing about her other than the couple minutes we spoke. But I knew she was on my heart. And we got the shop up and running. And she came into my office one day, and she says to me, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And she goes, you know, me and the other ladies were talking about you back on the tier, and we kind of figured that any guy who could spend 10 hours a day alone with a bunch of women and never lose his temper and never say a cuss word probably had to be a Christian. So I took it as a backhanded compliment, and I said to her, I said, well, okay, you've opened the door. I was like, so what about you, Susan? Any particular denomination? And if you'd have given me 10 guesses that what was going to come out of her mouth next, I'd have never come close. And she handed me her prison ID card, and she said to me, I'm a witch. And I was like, wow. And she explained that her mother was a witch, her grandmother was a witch, and she was raised to be a witch from the day she was born. And there she was, just as beautiful as could be, as smart as can be, and just as sweet as can be. But she was a full-fledged, functioning, modern-day witch. And she had spell books back in her cell. She was allowed to have potions as long as they weren't flammable or poisonous. And she was a witch. So as crazy as it sounds, her and I continued to get closer and closer. I mean, you could just feel it getting closer and closer, to the point where we would go up in my office and we would look up verses in the Bible, and she would give me her Wiccan point of view about the verse, and I would give her my Christian point of view about the verse, and we just had some incredible conversations. And then the ladies came in one day, the guards brought them in, of course, after they got strip searched. And trust me, you haven't lived until you show up for work and leave for work, and you get strip searched and go through metal detectors, and the drug dogs sniff you over, and the whole bit. I mean, every day, it's just incredible. But the guards bring them in, and Susan comes over to me and grabs my arm, and she goes, "We need to talk." So I'm standing there. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark outside. I'm just still trying to get it all together. And she says to me, "You know, you and I have been talking a lot and looking in the Bible and going over verses and stuff like that lately." She goes, "I wanted you to know that I went to church yesterday for the first time in my life." And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, this is big. This is really big. So I said, "So how did it go?" And she says, "Well, it was like the pastor there was talking right at me. Everything she said was like directed right at me." And she goes, "And I started crying. And some of the other ladies came over and prayed over me. And then the pastor, she came over and she put her hands on my head and prayed over me." And she says, "I did it, Chuck." She goes, "I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior."
No, isn't it? Tell me about how she went out that morning in the prison guard.
Oh, yeah. So I'm standing there. Tears are just rolling down my face. I'm looking at her. Tears are rolling down her face. I grabbed her hand. I was like, "Let's go." I was like, "Up in my office." So I took her up in my office, closed the door, and I was like, "I want to know. I want to know exactly what happened." And she goes to me. She goes, "Chuck, I went to bed Saturday night, and all night long, I just keep hearing this voice in my head saying, 'You have to go to church tomorrow. You have to go to church tomorrow.'" She goes, "And I can't get rid of it." She goes, "My eyes are open. My eyes are closed. The voice just won't stop all night long." So the next morning, Sunday morning, they crack the doors for the ladies who were going to church, and her cellmate was one of the ones who goes to church. So she steps out on the tier, and there's an officer out there, a correctional officer, and the officer stops her and goes, "Where do you think you're going?" And she goes, "Well, I'm going to go to church." She goes, "No, you're a Wiccan. You don't go to church." And she says to her, she tells her the story about the voices overnight, and she couldn't get rid of the voices. And she goes to me, she goes, "Chuck, you had to be there to see what happened." She goes, "Here's this officer standing there in front of me in full uniform, weapons and everything. And she tells me, 'Stop, don't you move.'" And she goes, "The woman starts dancing around me." She's like, she's dancing around me in a circle. Her arms are waving. She's screaming out to God. You know, everybody's looking at her like she's lost her mind and she needs help. And she goes, and I'm standing there and I don't know what to do. So she takes my ID card. She scratches off Wiccan and she writes Christian on it, hands it back to me and says, "Go to church." Yes! And I said to her, I was like, "Do you even realize what just happened?" I was like, "Do you have any idea what just happened there?" I was like, "What do you think the odds were that after 30-some years, that on this particular Sunday morning, in this particular prison, on this particular tier, and on that particular shift, that the officer working just happens to be a born-again Christian?" And she got it. She knew exactly what was going to happen. And she sent her on her way. So praise God. So, and I'm happy to tell you that now Susan is running the Bible study at the women's prison. She's not just part of it. She is running it. I mean, can you imagine a former witch running the Bible study and bringing other women to Christ? It's just incredible. And then to top it all off, we were talking. Oh, there's so much more. I'm going to cut it short at this one now. We were talking one day, and I'm asking her how the Bible study's going. And she's like, "Well, I'm not really comfortable talking in front of a lot of people yet, especially if I don't know them very well." And I was like, and the Holy Spirit just grabbed me. And all of a sudden, I'm saying things to her, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I? What are you doing, Chuck? What are you doing to this girl? And I said to her, I was like, let me tell you something. I was like, the day is coming when you are going to speak in front of thousands, right? And her mouth just fell open, and she goes to me. She goes, Chuck, she goes, Stephen Curtis Chapman's wife, Mary Ann, was here 2 days ago, and she did a service for the ladies, just the ladies. And she said, and during the service, she pulled me out, and she made me come down to the front. And she says to me, I don't know who you are. I've never met you before. But I got three things that God wants me to say to you. And she said, the first thing was, he wants me to tell you that he knows exactly who you are. And second, that he has claimed you as one of his own for eternity. And finally, the day is coming when you will spread his word to thousands. And she says, Chuck, you just literally told me the same thing word for word that she told me 2 days ago. And I absolutely believe it will happen. I mean, the presence that is building inside this girl, God's presence is just becoming overwhelming in there. It's just incredible. And the gifts she has are just incredible, just unbelievable amount of gifts, the girl. She doesn't even realize the depth of the gifts that she has. But we're working on that. So she has been totally set free. So, needless to say, it is going incredibly well with Susan. And, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen next. I mean, I would have never dreamed it would ever even gotten this far. I mean, we were just happy being friends, and now it's blossomed into so much. But you know, I would just ask you, if you get a chance this week, to remember them and pray for them, the ladies there, especially Susan, because prison is a tough place to be, and especially for the ladies. And a lot of these women have been through things, abused and abused in ways you don't even want me telling you about, because it would really disturb you. But they still find a way, even in spite of all that, to be very incredibly caring people, even in their situation. And I can't even tell you how many times they have sat me down and made me a cup of tea or made me lunch or something, because they knew that I wasn't feeling good. And they just, it was like, Mr. Chuck, come in here. We're gonna do something for you. And just out of their own, and they have so little. When they give, it's just incredible to watch, and how they take care of each other and how they take care of me too. And so I'll tell you, if you're here today and you're thinking things really aren't going all that well in your life, or maybe God's not listening to your prayers or not answering your prayers, I can tell you about a young lady who was about as far away from God as you could possibly get. And I saw him, when the time was right, reach down into a maximum security prison and grab her and change her life, you know, in a place where that doesn't happen, you know. Doesn't happen without his hand. And I thank him every day for her and for the friendship we have now. And I just pray that it keeps growing within her. She has about a year and a half left before she'll have her 15 years in, and she'll be eligible for parole at that point. And I'm really praying with God's grace that maybe in a year and a half I can get her to come one Sunday morning. I just think that would be so wonderful for her. And I know she would love it. So that's about it. So,
amen. That's the third time I've heard that story, and it still brings tears to my eyes. I just, wow, it is so powerful. And obviously, Chuck would never say this about himself, but as you know, he's broke his ankle, and he's been out of work now for well over a month. And a couple of weeks ago, they had a luncheon, and they wanted him to be at that luncheon, and they actually came and picked him up and drove him to it. And at that luncheon, he was honored as Employee of the Year. Wow. Whew.